We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2. We're online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frayne is our technical director today. And this afternoon, here it is the second Friday of the month, and we're going to talk about dogs with Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. The first Friday of the month, when they're usually here, was the first of the year 2010. Listeners, if you've got questions about dogs, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. Carol and Jim are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Good to see you.
So far, yeah, everything's fine.
So far, everything's fine. Just 8 days in.
8 days in. Things are good.
Okay.
Actually, not. We didn't get to go sledding over the holidays.
Oh, I know. That's really sad for you.
It is.
It is.
I kind of missed it when it snowed, and I was walking on the crunching snow, and I thought, oh.
You can do it here now.
Yeah. The irony of dog sledding is that the weather has to not be so bad that you can't drive to where you're going to sled, and then once you get there, you have to have a lot of snow, and we're kind of caught in that paradox around here. This weekend, it might be good once they get the roads cleared so we can get to the parks and hook up some dogs. But
that would be so cool to see you out at Lake of the Woods or Meadowbrook Park with a team of Malamutes.
Well, usually we go to, like, Kennecuck Cove or the...
That would be so exciting to see something like that. Don't you think it would be?
Mm-hmm.
Just
yes,
walking along and here comes a...
On my PDA, I have pictures of me.
Here comes this sled full of dogs and people, and
in fact,
it would
be
kind of exciting.
We were up in Vermilion County at the horse park, and I'm sledding along, and some deer decided to see if they could outrun us. And, of course, they could, but the dogs gave it a try. And,
hang on,
you know,
huh?
Usually Malamutes are 5-mile-an-hour dogs, and I got a sense of what it's like to go at some speed, and it was scary.
Isn't it? Don't you use the word mush?
In this case, I was saying stop, please.
Mush means go, I think.
Well, hike means go. Mush is a hard word to scream. Have we got a caller?
We do.
We do.
Oh. So let's put our headphones on, and we will talk with a listener waiting for us now in Marseilles on line 4. Hi.
Hi, this is Kathleen from Marseilles with Casey.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I would just update. Casey's 14 and doing just fine.
Excellent.
But my question today is about a friend of mine who has adopted a dog, and they thought he was lab. But when they got him home, he's about 92 pounds. He has a massive head, and he has that beautiful copper coat, and they think he's more Chesapeake Bay Retriever. And he's scared to death in a car, but they are handling that pretty well in a van. But all of his front teeth were ground down, so I think he'd been homeless for a while. And they were real close to putting this dog down. And he did pretty well in the house at first, but now he has completely bonded to the husband. And I know Chesapeake Bays do that laughing thing, curling their lips, I read online, but they think this is more of a growl. And we've told her different ways to approach the dog, never over the head and always, and then ignore him and let him come to you. And the other day, before it was just a guttural growl, and the other day she just walked toward him and he did raise his lips. and growled at her. Mm-hmm. He didn't approach her, though. And then last night he was fine with her, came up to her, and we're just wondering how to handle this situation. He really, they both love the dog, but is this going to work out?
Boy, it's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, you really have to see what the dog's doing. What you're talking about is what we in the business call a submissive grin.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of dogs will do it. It's not a breed-specific kind of thing. Mixed breeds do it. And for those who don't know what it is, the dog kind of raises its lips and bares its teeth, but it's a submissive gesture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an aggressive gesture. And in fact, at our own shelter a couple years ago, mm-hmm. I think they did a story. And what was the dog's name?
Well, I know. Was it a Dalmatian, wasn't it?
No, it was a little mix, like a Basset mix.
Mm-hmm. I don't seem to recall that, Jim.
And they called him Smiley, ironically.
Yeah.
And people would come by and he would raise his lips. And
I remember it now, yeah. And they had to assure people that he was not baring his teeth. He was,
right.
It was a greeting gesture.
It was a submissive act. Now, so the question is our friend here doing a submissive grin? And in some ways, it sounds like he might be.
That's where you have to look at the whole body.
That's where
though.
You got to, yeah, you got
to. Right. The tail, he said, was straight out.
No.
Of course, the ears are floppy, and I don't think they know too much mm-hmm. about that. And I don't know how much the nose wrinkles, but.
The growl, dogs. They don't purr like cats, but several dogs can purr.
They talk.
And they talk.
Mm-hmm. He does kind of talk to, you know, Gunk, we call him Gary, Gunk a little bit. We call him Gunk, actually. His name's Gary. But and he, if he's home with Di by himself, he just goes to the door and waits for Gary to come home.
Mm-hmm. If treating it as it might be a growl.
Okay.
It's not a bark. You know, he's not going after.
No.
For some reason, at certain times, he becomes uncomfortable. And it sounds like just a statement, you know, hey, I'm uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
If I were she, I would have cookies on me all the time. And as soon as he did anything like that, I'd talk to him in a sweet voice until he stopped, and he probably will pretty soon, and then give him a cookie.
Uh-huh.
And there's a fine line between training him to growl and easing his discomfort. So uh-huh. you want to talk to him until he stops growling. It's the stopping growling that you're rewarding.
So the talking to him won't make him become more aggressive or become aggressive, right?
Well, it's hard to say. I doubt it. I wouldn't recommend that she do that if I thought he would. Oh, you're
right,
talking
yeah.
sweet to me. I think I'll bite you.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible. But
soft voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calming and reassuring tone of voice.
But not touching him.
No, I wouldn't try to touch him at all.
No.
Has she been able to pet him at all since then?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes he's very receptive to her when he comes over to her. And now the other day when she just walked toward him, was the only time that he did the growl with raising of the lips a little bit. And she threw him a treat and he walked away from it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
well,
I would say he was probably uncomfortable.
The other thing that we don't know, if he had a toy or something that he was kind of guarding.
I think it was the husband.
That's what I'm afraid, that he's trying to eliminate her in the territory and just because.
You know, I wouldn't worry about that so much. Not knowing his background, he may have had an unpleasant encounter
mm-hmm.
with a woman or not have been around women very much. My guess would be it was more unpleasant.
Is he neutered?
I'm not sure about that. If he's not, he will be after they've had him a while. I think he is because he came from a shelter,
yeah.
so that would be
yeah. Then he would be
not all shelters.
How old do you think? How old did they guess him to be?
About 5 or 6.
See, the ground down teeth doesn't necessarily mean he was out on his own.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes dogs that don't like being crated will. Chew on the crate bars or try to get out, and that'll grind their teeth down.
Uh-huh.
Chewing rocks will do that.
I think my biggest concern is a veterinarian told me that Chesapeake Bays can really become protective of the one person, and that if somebody went after that one person, that they would really, you know, could attack. But do you think that he will bite her, or if he does go to try to will the growl become a bite? Like with Casey, the growl is definitely going to be a bite. But I just don't know whether they should keep him. And they want to keep him and try, but we just should she ignore him and just let him come to her like she's doing?
I'm surprised. You know, vets say a lot of things. And one interesting fact about veterinarians is they never have whelped a litter either of dogs or cats. It's not part of the curriculum. So if you have whelping problems, they can tell you things from a book, but not from experience.
See, Chessies aren't like your other retrievers. They're not like Labs. They're not like Goldens, but that doesn't make them bad. They're just different.
The Chessies I've seen are a little harder temperamented, but that doesn't mean that, one, that they do any more submissive grinning or they're going to attack or anything like that. They're tougher dogs.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure this is a Chessie.
Uh-huh.
There are chocolate labs.
There's the red fox lab, too, that are red in color.
Yeah, he has a massive face and real thin little eyes, and his eyelids had turned in. They did do surgery on them. That's why I'm thinking the dog probably is neutered, too. And underneath his neck, he has, like, a scar. They thought maybe somebody who owned him had, like, an electric fence, you know, with the collar, that maybe he had gotten burned, but they don't know. The hair just doesn't grow there a little bit. And that's where she is going under his chin and petting him. I thought maybe if she kind of petted him on the side, maybe. I just don't know. I don't want her to get bit.
No, how long have they had him anyway? I guess
only had him a couple weeks.
Yeah, and he's still settling in. I don't know. Without seeing him, it's kind of hard. Okay. It's always better to err on the side of caution regardless.
So your advice for her is to?
I think letting him approach her, having her feed him.
Okay.
Have her put his dog food down for him to eat and watering him. And do they walk him or do they put him in the yard?
Mostly he walks him and plays with him because he takes him to work.
So he's spending the majority of time with the husband.
He is. Uh-huh.
Yeah, have her feed the dog and, as Jim said, have her give him treats and so
there's a book she can try, and that's The Calming Signals.
Tellington Touch? Is that what you're thinking
of? No, it's like yawning. And there's a lot to be said for if the dog does something, for her to turn her back on him and ignore him.
Uh-huh.
That's turning your back on the dog and ignoring him is a fairly dominant thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a signal to put the dog in his place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see her backing off if he's growling because that'll only encourage him.
So if he does growl, she talks softly, and then she has a treat. And when the growling stops, she offers him the treat by hand to his mouth.
I would toss it to him at first and see what his response is.
Okay.
Not that she's afraid, but just see. Since he took the treat and walked off the other day, I sense that he was...
He wouldn't take it.
Labs are big dogs, but he sounds a little bit overweight to me.
Yeah, he is 92 pounds, and he does have a big face. We do have a vet who is retired that's going to stop in and look at him. He's owned 3 Chesapeakes before.
Oh, that's good. He'd know.
And he has that. You know, his fur looks almost like it has the hollow in it. The hairs look like they're very, very used to the water. I don't know. That's just my opinion. And then it's kind of got that little gold in it, so maybe he's a mixture. But I just didn't know what the growl was, and I always thought growl is, with the lips raised, is next to, okay, either leave me alone or I'm going to get you.
No, that would be my impression,
well,
too.
Well, that's typical. We're just saying that there are things called submissive grins, and you really have to see it and look at it in the context.
How would the tail be with a submissive grin? Can it be straight out?
They'd be wagging their tail, probably.
My guess is either they wouldn't be doing anything with their tail or it'd be tucked in and wagging fast because that's submissive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen on YouTube the grin and the, you know, the play, it's running around and wanting to play. But, okay, feed him and water him now.
I'd use better treats. If he's walking away from the treat, then
piece of cheese, something like that.
You know, got to raise the level of treat.
Yeah. And see, at first he was, he did okay with her, and she went at it the wrong way. She doesn't know anything about it. that much about dogs, and she went to Adam head first and put her arms around him like hug, you know. And the rest of us, he comes up to us when we go down to the automotive center. He goes to work with him, and he comes up and greets everybody, and he lets us pet him over the head and underneath the chin and everything, and then he just walks away, and he's never... He's almost like an ambassador of goodwill. He runs, goes to each person very calmly and quietly, and, okay, it's your turn to pet me now, and now it's your turn. And maybe, then he goes and lays down.
Maybe your friend is just a rotten person.
She's high maintenance and expensive. Well, they don't have any children, and so this is their baby, you know, like Casey's my baby, and they really want to keep him. If they can, and if you think maybe that it's worth a try and that he won't, you know, if he was going to get aggressive, what would his next move be?
Well, he'd bite her.
He'd bite her, I suppose.
Yeah, but we don't want that to happen. So he's so good with other people. I think that, you know, she just needs to relax a little bit. She may be sending off some signals to him that she's scared and uncertain herself.
Uh-huh.
So she just needs
not,
to relax.
Tell her not to force it. Let him come to her.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the vet who's going to come to visit should also be of some assistance.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
So give us a call back next month.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I rely on your opinion because you've gotten Casey to be 14. He hasn't bit too many more people, but occasionally has to have a little bite of some point.
He was a handful when he was a youngster, wasn't he?
Yeah. The breeder finally admitted that the female that they bred to had a kind of a nasty temperament, and she's very glad that we got him. But, you know, I don't think I'm going to repeat the loss of breed. I was thinking of a St. Charles Cavalier. I want something that'll cuddle a little bit, more of a lap dog.
Well, King Charles will do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and not a terrible lot of shedding with that one, I don't think, I hope.
No, they shed too, but it's not.
But they're so small, you know.
Yeah, but I don't want something under my feet in my lap every minute, and that's the part of the Lhasa I do like.
Well, they're fairly, the Cavaliers are Cavalier.
They are not.
No, they're not?
No. Well, they're lap dogs. I mean, they really are.
I thought they just didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, Maltese is
we get
too
it,
small,
Jim.
And
okay.
The vet told me Shih Tzus can be just as nasty as the Lhasas can.
Well, you know, it depends on where you get the dog. I've met some really wonderful Shih Tzus and Lhasa Apsos, and I've met some that aren't. It's, you know, it's the luck of the draw.
Yeah, well, if I go back to this breeder, my next one ought to be free because I'll tell you. It's been a challenge. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Good to talk with you. Let's take another call now for Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Line one, listener in Indiana. Hi.
Hello. I have a black lab. He weighs about 95 to 100. He's neutered. Very nice dog. Next door, we have two dogs, a mother and a daughter. The mother is on a chain and gets very long chain on the presumption that the daughter won't jump over the fence, which she does occasionally. But they have a very peculiar behavioral problem, I think. They fight each other. They stand on their back legs and go at it sometimes. I haven't seen any blood yet, but they get very serious. Then it'll stop abruptly. But it drives our black lab crazy. At times, he just bites off the top of the pegs on a plastic fence and leaves him sort of jittery the rest of the time throughout the afternoon and evening. And it's a neighborhood situation. Not much we can do about it. People don't really give a damn one way or the other. And so we're concerned about what we can do to help him after this sort of thing happens. It's next to impossible to keep him out sometimes because he needs to get out and run, which he does occasionally out in a rural area, but not every day. But we need some kind of advice to work at it. And talking to the neighbors means nothing, so don't go down that route, please. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
That's kind of interesting.
I
think he hung up.
Oh.
You know, I'm thinking, you know how, I don't like dissension. I like things to be nice and calm and cordial. And when people around me, family or friends, argue, I find myself inside, I feel upset.
Mm-hmm.
And Maybe the dog, you know, I mean, it's probably just as stressful for the dog to witness that. I don't know. I don't know what they think. I know it would upset me if I had to see dogs fighting.
What's the dog doing? Is he jumping the fence?
No, he watches them fight and apparently then chews on the pegs, or I think he called them pegs, on the top of his fence. He's not able to get to the dogs. He's fenced and they're on chains, or one's on a chain. Maybe he just finds it stressful to see these dogs fighting. And dogs don't recognize mother-daughter relationships after a point in time either. They just, you know.
Well, once again, we'd have to see it. I'm not sure they're fighting.
They may not be. They may
might be playing.
Watching mine play sometimes, if you didn't know better, you would think they were going to kill each other.
If there's no blood, it's unlikely that two fairly large dogs would go at it several times without drawing blood or something like that. And dogs do, or they can, play fairly what we would consider rough. And the fact that they stop quickly and apparently make up, or at least don't continue the fight, it kind of indicates that maybe they're playing. And maybe that's why his dog is getting upset, not because he cares that they're fighting, but he wants to get in on the play.
Could be. That could be, too.
You know, you really have to see the other
dogs. Did he say that it's hard for him to get him outside sometimes after these episodes? He doesn't want to go back outside? That's what I thought I heard
him
say.
Well, yeah, apparently because the dog is upset.
Right.
Or wanting to get over. Apparently the younger, the daughter, will jump the fence from time to time.
I wonder what happens then.
I don't know. Hmm. But what can we do? Whether they're fighting or not, the dog gets upset. What can you do? Well, you could stop the dogs from fighting, but
It doesn't sound like they have a good neighbor relationship either.
Well, it doesn't sound like a bad neighbor relationship, but not a good one.
And you can't sit home all day long waiting for a fight to break out or play fight to break out next door and bring in the dog. It's an interesting issue.
I can't think of anything because it kind of involves the cooperation of the neighbors.
But he said, please don't go there.
Yeah, exactly. So what can we do for this dog?
Well, in other stressful situations when a dog becomes upset or anxious, what do you do? No doubt you've had this experience with your own dogs.
And you'll see it sometimes even in class when a dog, and we talk about this, you know, to step outside with them to get them focused again and to relax. And if mine don't seem to get upset at things at home. But if Andy, she's the one that's the instigator, the barker, the one that, you know, wants the dog next door to run the fence with her, I'll just bring her in. You know, and she's not doing anything wrong. I just bring her in the house and let her chill out for a little bit.
One thing that really calms, well, humans down too, but dogs, is food. So I think the one practical suggestion we can make, or I can make, is if he sees that his dog is upset by the goings-on, I would give him a super nice...
If he'll eat it if he's too upset.
Well, that's... Yeah, if you're upset, you can't eat. And if you're eating, you can't be upset. So what you have to do is have something so tempting that he'll give up being upset and eat whatever it is, like liver.
You know, it's kind of interesting that a dog would stay upset for that long, too.
As soon as they stop fighting... I don't know why he continues to be upset.
I don't know.
But...
maybe he's calling back.
No.
No.
Okay. He could, though.
What I would try is giving the dog some kind of food. When our dogs fight, we get them apart. I yell at them, you know, what do you think you're doing? You know, count to 10 so I calm down. And then I give them food. And if they're going to make up, that's when they make up.
Let's take another call. A listener in Effingham on line one. Hello.
Good afternoon. My daughter and her husband just are proud parents of a little Westie. He's about 3 months old, and they can't keep him from eating his feces. What do you suggest?
Boy, if only we knew.
That's such a huge problem.
We have a blind dog. She's how old is she? 13. And... we've got a fairly big area, and with the snow, it's hard to scoop up the dog feces because you can't see it. And of course, she can smell it under the snow. And so we let her out, and she's like a cattle grazing, a cow grazing.
So gross.
Yeah, well, you can't watch her 100% of the time.
No.
Some things, there are commercial products you can sprinkle on their food, and it's supposed to make...
I think one product is called Forbidden, like forbidden fruit. You sprinkle it on their food. Pineapple juice, but I can't see a dog eating food that's got pineapple on it, but who knows? If they eat poop,
Adolph's meat tenderizer was always... Now, you don't put this on the feces. You put this in their food so that it makes the food less tempting for them. The problem is, of course, that dogs are scavengers if they were in the wild.
Yeah, but you know, this is a three-month-old puppy, so this makes me think that he learned this as a very young puppy because... Perhaps the area in which he kept wasn't very clean, and then they have to take care of that themselves, even as little babies.
A lot of people, when they discover their dog's doing this, think their dog is the first dog ever to do this. Dogs have been doing this for 20,000 years. It's very difficult to get them to stop. Things you can do is use these commercial products on their food, clean up the backyard as fast as you can.
Scolding is not going to do any good.
Yeah. Because they don't know what you're talking about. It's like yelling at them when they try to eat a steak. They're going, are you nuts? This is a steak. This is delicious. So the other thing you can check for, but I don't think it'll do anything, is there may be some sort of nutritional imbalance in their diet. And, you know, you can check to see... try different dog food or a blend of dog
food. Yeah, that's a good idea. Changing dog foods to something better than they're feeding, unless they're feeding a premium food. But sometimes it's just a habit that, you know, they learned as a baby and eventually, hopefully.
Yeah. It's a tough problem, and if we had the solution, we'd be rich.
So it's not easy to unlearn then.
It's not necessarily learned. Dogs do this. Just naturally. I remember I was working at a gas station when I was in school, and a guy came in. He had hunting dogs, and he was complaining. He had a lot of them, and then they were in runs, and they kept eating their feces. And I, you know, being the smart college kid that I was, it's perfectly natural. And he got really mad at me. I don't care if it's natural or not. It's disgusting.
And recycling.
Yeah, and this was a long time ago.
You don't need to tell people how long ago it was.
I think Nixon was president at the time. we've been dealing with this problem a long time, and it's the human reaction to it. And in fact, I believe, without any scholarship, but one of the reasons, especially ancient people thought dogs were disgusting, is this reason. There are a lot of references in the Bible regarding dogs eating their own vomit. They don't mention the other, but it's the dog's habit of eating these things.
I must have skipped that part in Sunday school. I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, if Google it.
Okay.
Well, so I'm sorry, but we don't know how to help except to say use the commercial products and clean up as fast as you can.
And maybe switch dog foods.
Could you also recommend a good training manual, like a real basic training manual for them?
I have one that I really like, and it's called What All Good Dogs Should Know by Volhard and Bartlett, V&B, Volhard and Bartlett. Edition 2, I think, just came out last year.
Okay.
Revised edition.
Thanks for the call.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Next, we take a call from a listener in Urbana, line 2. Hi.
Yes, hello. We adopted a couple of dogs about a year ago. They're a little over a year old now, and we started taking them to the dog park a few months ago. And the one especially plays very rough. And I was just wondering if you think that he'll ever grow out of that, or is that just part of his nature?
When you say he plays rough, who does he play rough with, your other dog?
Well, he does that, but he seems to like to chase if there's a dog running fast. That's what he goes for, and he'll kind of run along beside it and maybe bump it off balance or nip at its rear end.
And what kind of dog is he?
Oh, he looks kind of like a heavy-duty border collie. He's about that size, but he's thicker.
I would have bet a nickel that it was some sort of herding breed. And I would have won a nickel. This is what everybody's calling with these fundamental problems that are difficult to solve. Dogs do a couple things. One is they chase things that are moving fast, and that's just built into them. And the other thing, especially with herding dogs, is they like to – when dogs play, they don't play bridge, you know, or canasta. They run into each other, and they bite each other.
Yeah.
And it's not like the gentleman that called earlier. It's why we can't tell if these two other dogs were fighting or playing. They could have been playing. So you have a dog that's instinctively chases things moving like other dogs and nips at them. And, of course, that's one of the ways that herding dogs herd is by nipping and bumping and things like that. So your question is, gee, how can I stop? I don't think it's a problem. All right.
Yeah, but what about the owners of the dog? And,
right.
And what about the dog that's being herded? What do they do?
Some people are tolerant, and some people are very intolerant.
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems of dog parks. Is well, for example, when we – in our dog training club, we have in the puppy kindergarten, and this is dogs 3 months and less – we don't do this with older dogs, even 4 months. But with 3 months or less, at the end of the class, we just let all the dogs loose, all the puppies loose. And you'll find some run, some bite, you know, some go and hide.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in their nature. The thing is, the dog usually that's playing catch me is usually the dominant dog. In other words, the dog that's running is the dominant dog, and the ones chasing are the subdominant dogs. At a dog park, I don't think, in this case, they have enough time to set up any kind of social relationships. So that's you might get fights because you get two dominant dogs, and they don't have the time to figure out who's going to be dominant. So they fight. But usually it's the dog out ahead that's that says, catch me if you can, and that's the dominant dog. So most people think that that's not the dominant dog. And your dog's chasing my dog and doing all these things. Well, actually, your dog is the dominant one.
That's interesting.
So how do you stop it? A good recall. Don't go to the dog park. Go to the dog park only with at times when it's your dogs.
Yeah, I do that.
When you're training a dog, you have to control every variable. So if you go to a dog park, you can't even control your own dog, let alone everybody else's dog.
Yeah.
So you can you'd have to practice at home doing recalls under all kinds of very stressful situations for the dog, like, you know, having somebody running past them with the smelling of liver and you calling the dog to you and having them come reliably.
Yeah.
That would help a little bit. And
It would help reassure the owner of the dog that's being chased that you've got control of your dog. And I think that's what concerns people more, because they don't see it as play. They think their dog's being picked on. And when you're not able to get your dog back to you, then they get angry with you. And that's not a good situation.
So Carol's suggestion is a good one. And but you have to control the circumstances, and you really have to have really tempting things to call the dog off of both a stay and a recall. They have to come, and it's not impossible to teach the dogs that. That's routinely done by police dogs, search and rescue dogs. I mean, it's something they can learn, but you're not going to teach it to them at the dog park.
Right. And most importantly, don't call the dog to you and then put the leash on and go. Okay, call him to you, reward him, play with him for a few minutes, and let him go run again. But if you put the leash on him and you go, then he's like, I'm not falling for that one again.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
One other question. We got a couple of DNA kits for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard any feedback on those?
I've
heard some
Dave
are accurate.
Got one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And Dave's and a friend of mine up in Minneapolis got one. And the friend in Minneapolis wasn't really.
I think the more you pay for it, the better your results are. I hate to say that because I talked to somebody that had purchased one, and they can be fairly inexpensive. And when she told me the results, I could not see the breeds represented in her dog at all.
Uh-huh.
But it made her happy because now she knew.
Uh-huh.
Might not be accurate, but she knew something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I always try to catch your show.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And we're going to go to Indiana next, line 4. I wonder if this is our caller who called earlier. Line 4, hi.
I thought I'd call back.
Okay, good.
Take some of those questions. I'm sort of the second person in this situation. Lynn is the alpha dog, and she knows more about the dog than I do, but I know some of his behavior, but she's not able to talk on the phone at this time, so go ahead and shoot me some questions.
When the dogs appear to be fighting, what are they doing?
They're jumping up in the air and grasping each other with their mouths, and occasionally you hear a yelp and things like that. So I presume there's some pain's been felt, but it stops sometimes very quickly, almost immediately, and they all just sort of pull away. It's almost like a ballet or something. And they'll stop, but within 3 or 4 minutes they'll be at it again, and sometimes they can keep it up for hours. There's people in the community don't like it, but there's not much. As I said, we don't go down the line of talking to the people next door because they're not going to do anything. They're not even here when this is going on. They leave the dogs out by themselves.
Do they appear to be fighting over a bone or a toy? Or
no,
food?
No. Sometimes the mother dog will come and nip at the daughter in a sense to get her going. Then they'll go at it each other, and they sort of do this jump thing at each other up in the air. And like I say, sometimes I've seen them have their jaws clasped together, or most of the time they're like nipping at a ear or something like that.
Well, what kind of dogs are they?
Extended periods. I don't know what they are, to be honest with you. They have an extremely nice gait. And both of them can jump at any 3 or 4 foot fence if they want to without any trouble whatsoever. They're thin. They remind me of a greyhound, but they're not a greyhound, and they're sort of a off-white color.
When they sleep, are they next to each other?
The question there is, I couldn't tell you. They leave them in a garage with a door open and a heater on. And so whether they actually sleep or not, I don't know. And if they do sleep, I can't see them unless I got into, curled over the fence.
Do they take the one off the chain when it goes to bed?
Never.
Or is she's no. always on a chain?
Always on a chain.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but their attitude is that keeps the other one most of the time from jumping over the fence. But occasionally it does, and they just go out and get it. It seems to come back without any problem whatsoever. There's been people for us to try to talk to them about their dog's behavior, and nothing ever gets done. And he's not into really.
Okay, so we're more concerned about your dog's reaction, right?
And the reaction is that, as I said, is some of the things you said after that, it made sense to me about not wanting to get into the play. They run up and down the fence a lot, the daughter and Mackie does. I mean, it's crazy how synchronized they can get.
Oh, it's like a ballet,
you said. Stop on a dime, turn, whap, and the way they go again, you're like, where are they getting this information from? But he, like I say, I've seen him a number of times now, just snap off. This is a plastic. They're nothing particularly strong. They have these little spiral. Well, it's sort of more closer to a dome-shaped peg on the top. It covers a wood dowel or something like that. And he just snaps them off like it's cotton.
It could be that he's just frustrated that he can't go, if they're playing, that he's not being able to play with them.
You can't get him inside when this is going on.
When the other one jumps the fence, does your dog play with her? Or?
You might call it playing. She did it once, and he just mauled her. He's a bully type, I guess you would say. He uses his weight instinctively, and she wanted to get back over the fence. And we tried that earlier in the game, mm-hmm. and that didn't work. But run up and down the fence, that's still a big thing with both of them. And Mackie, like I say, if I didn't yell at him, Lena's got to a place where we yell no fence. He normally pulls back away from it, whatever he's doing. But one day he just starts snapping them off, three of them before he finally changed his attitude and, you know, something else interested.
So why don't you just bring him in if you're home and this is happening?
Well, the problem is he won't come to you. And trying to run down a 100-pound Labrador is not easy.
Well, you can't run down any dog, really.
He's very, very, you know, he turns it into a game. You go up to get him, and he's off to another place.
That's why I...
A lot of time doing nothing, then when you say, well, the hell with it, I'm going back in the house, and then they're back at the dog's doing their thing.
Take a dog dish and fill it, or not, you know, fill it, but put something really tasty in it.
Okay.
And
I heard that mentioned.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good idea.
And don't try chasing them, as Carol points out. There are very few dogs that a human can chase. Even the Cavalier King Charles mm-hmm. can outrun us pretty much. So that when you say no fence or come, or say, he knows he's going to get something good. And eventually I'd put it on the porch, but then eventually I'd put it in the house so he knows that he'll come in the house and get something good.
Yeah.
And at least that'll get him away from it, and that'll probably calm him down.
Yeah.
Dogs, I went to a lecture of a guy I knew, but he was – in fact, he was the director of the dog unit of the Border Patrol down in Texas, Arizona, uh-huh. along there. And he dealt with very tough dogs and some very aggressive dogs. Of course, they were training them for bomb detection, drug detection. But he said there's a phenomenon with dogs. If they get really excited, they'll bite you and they won't even know they're doing it.
Okay.
And I suspect that your guy is just so excited, he's just starting to bite stuff.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so that explains it. It doesn't help. He's still wrecking the fence. But I don't think he's doing it consciously. You know, he's just so excited and frustrated mm-hmm. that he's just biting stuff.
Okay.
So try to get him calmed down, and usually food is the best thing.
And he needs to do a good. You must have some training facilities in your area, don't you?
Yeah, we've had him trained. In one sense, I would have said something about that. It's probably some of the most ridiculous money I ever spent in my life. Could have picked up a book and read what it said and done the same thing. I didn't see any real big change in Mac except what he naturally would do just growing up as a dog. But we did do the training thing, and I wasn't too impressed with it. But it's the only thing we got around here. And they're hooked up with the kennel club, and they're hooked up with people who take care of lost dogs and stuff like that. So it's sort of murky there. You can't go in and complain too much. You upset a lot of little ladies real fast. But Len's doing the best she can. She works with him all the time, inside the house and outside and stuff. He minds her pretty good, but this is the one instance where we have...
Yeah, well, you know, if you put yourself in his place and you want to go to the party next door and you just might get invited if you hang around for a few more minutes, then you're not going to come in the house. And he's thinking, at any minute, they're going to let me over the fence to play with them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot. It's uh-huh. helpful. I'll get Lynn thinking about some other angles on it, too, because that's because she thinks a lot about that a lot. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Well, we're right about at the time when we're going to have to stop. Anything you want to tell us about in terms of the dog training club?
Classes start?
Last night. We had to cancel
orientation, so the classes start next week. So
then it won't be until...
Middle
spring.
Of March, and they extended it by a week, and so I sent an email to my students, the roster, and I said, the good thing is we'll be well into spring by the time we're finished with class. And then, you know, and it's true, you start going in January, by the time you're finished, it's almost light out at 6 o'clock or 6:30, and it's so encouraging. I hate winter. Hate it. But we had to cancel last night. Because if people had, there would hardly have been anybody to show up anyway, and it's just not worth it to ask people to risk.
Well, I'm sure the road out there wouldn't have been in very good shape.
Yeah, the problem was the blowing snow. You can get into whiteout situation. I drove from Bloomington here on Wednesday night, and I was on a wing and a prayer. Yeah, I was, I hope I'm going to the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I looked, this was the right way. So it was fairly dangerous, I thought.
So we just canceled the heck with it. That's it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you in February.
That
it'll still
creepy.
Be winter, but it's closer to spring.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
February 5th.
Sounds good.
Okay. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, they are dog trainers. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month. This month, the first Friday was January 1st, so they are here today on the second Friday of the month. Next month, we'll be back on our schedule, first Friday, February 5th. 980, that was up 35. June, 8805, the high, 8735, the low, 8802 and a half, the settlement unchanged. August, 8790, the high, 8737 and a half, the low, the settlement, 8782 and a half, down 2.5. January, feeder cattle, 9650, the high, 9590, the low, 9635, the settlement, down 10. March, 9670, the high, 9625, the low, 9665, the settlement, down 17 and a half. April, 9765, the high, 9740, the low, and the final today, the settlement, 9760, that was down 30 cents. May, 9860, the high, 9825, the low, 9860, the settlement, down 17 and a half. Lean hogs finished up on the day-to-day, February, 6775, the high, 6690, the low, the settlement, 6725, up 15. April, 7150, the high, 7065, the low, 7142 and a half, the settlement, that up 52 and a half. May, 76 even, the high, 7560, the low, the settlement, 7595, up 25. In June, 7960, the high, 7875, the low, the settlement, 7947 and a half, up 52 and a half. February pork bellies, 89 even, the low, the low price, excuse me, the high price was 89 even, the low price was 86.30, and the settlement was 87.50, up 10. The Dow currently off 29 at 10,578, and the NASDAQ is up 12 at 23.12. The S&P 500 is off a point at 11.41. Nearby crude up a penny at 82.66 a barrel. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana, online at will.illinois.edu. Thanks so much for tuning in today for the Afternoon Magazine. The producer for the program is Harriet Williamson, our technical director today, Henry Frain. My name is Celeste Quinn. Western and adventure writer Louis L'Amour died in 1988, but his work endures and is more popular than ever. Following the closing market report this afternoon, we'll feature an interview Jim Meadows conducted with Louis L'Amour's widow, Kathy L'Amour. That will follow the closing market report this afternoon. And the closing market report is coming up following news from National Public Radio in Washington. Let's take a look at the weather forecast for Illinois and Indiana. There are a number of winter storm warning, weather advisories, lake effect snow warnings for the state of Indiana. But let's take a look at the